Welcome to the weekly service message from the Crossbridge Church. Look for us on the web at www.crossbridgeny.org. Join us now as Pastor Terry Wiese delivers this week's message.
Well, good morning. I would like to thank you for joining us online this morning. And although we're not meeting together at the church building, we are united together in Christ. And we look forward to learning from Colossians today as we continue our study in chapter 3. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke to you on Paul's refresher course from Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 through 15. And I shared with you that as believers, we sometimes must go back to the basics. It's important that we understand who Christ is, what it means to be saved, what it means to be in Christ, and what is our duty as a Christ follower. There are some basics for every believer, and there are times when we need to be reminded of them. And having a clear understanding of these basic teachings will help us to stand firm in the faith, to deepen our roots, and to have stability in our daily walk with Christ. Being confident in these truths help us to stand firm against the attacks of Satan. And this is what Paul wants to get across to the believers in Colossae and to us today. He knew there were false teachers trying to lure the Colossians away from the truth. And he encouraged them, stand strong in the truth. You must remember that Satan will use whatever he can to try to convince you as a believer to question your faith in God, to try to get you to turn back to your old sinful patterns of life and practices, and to try to keep you from walking in the light of God's word. Satan doesn't let up, and we must constantly be on guard for the attacks that come on us. You see, the Christian life isn't just something that we do whenever we just kind of feel like it. It's actually a lifestyle. It's a Christ-like characteristics. It's a holy living and blameless life. Not perfect, but it's choosing a behavior and a conduct that pleases God, that reflects our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot be a Christian halfway in and please God. We must determine to be all in every day and in every way of in life. We must have everything in, 110% on the field. We must determine to choose Christ in everything that we do. The great coach Vince Lombardi once said, there is only one way to succeed in anything, and that is to give it everything. You see, Christ is everything to the believer. But my question to you today is, are you giving him everything? That's what Paul wants to address in our text today. Are you giving him everything? That is what we're going to be looking at today in our text. And if you have your Bibles, turn with them to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 through 17. If you have the ESV Bible, you can find that on page 984. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed, you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, as we come before you, just having read your precious word, Lord, this morning we ask that you would open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and that you would illuminate them with the truths of your word, that we might make application to our life today to realize that Christ is everything and that we're to do all that we can to live for Christ, to model Christ, Lord, to exhibit the characteristics of Christ, that the world might know that there is a one and true God. And Father, we trust you that you'll anoint me with the Spirit, that the word will go out powerfully, even over the online outreach, that you might be glorified today. And we praise you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the preceding verses of chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote, "If you have been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above and not on the things on earth." He went on to say to the believers in Colossae that you have died with Christ and your life is hidden in Christ, in God. That you are to consider yourselves dead to sin. That you are to put aside abusive things, ungodly practices. Put them away. Put them to death. You used to live that way, but not anymore. Because you are now in Christ. And I'm not saying that it's easy. But we do have the power within us to say no to sin. The scriptures tells us so in Romans chapter 6. Then Paul goes on to say, "Put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator." You know, as Pastor Nate spoke last week, he said that the old self with its passions, its desires, its wants and its needs, with its pride and self-centeredness, and with its weaknesses, has been put off. And we ask the question, why? How? Because you have died with Christ. Because you are born again. Because you have the Lord God who has chosen to make you a part of his family. Part of his as a child. Do you understand this, church? We have been chosen by God to become a part of his family, one of his children. He has chosen you. And doesn't that make you want to rejoice and just shout hallelujah? And as a Christian, your proper response to God is to live as he wants you to live. Because you have Christ in your hearts, you need to live out this truth. Listen to these verses that Paul wrote to Thessalonica, the church there, also to the church at Ephesians, and to young Timothy. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul wrote this, "But we ought always to give thanks to you, to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." Because God chose you. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he writes, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." He chose us before the foundations of the world. And then Paul writes to young Timothy. He writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, where he says, "For this reason I endured all things," listen to this, "for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with its eternal glory. As Christians, our proper response to God is to thank Him, is to praise Him, and to live as He wants us to live. We've been adopted into His family. Now we should live like it. We have become a Christ follower. Now we need to act like it. Paul said, put off the old ways and put on Christ. Put on the new ways. And what does that look like for us? What does it mean to put on the new man or the new self? What does that mean? What does it mean to put on Christ? That is what we're going to look at today in our passage. And the first thing that I want you to look at this morning is that live as one who's been chosen by God. That's verses 12 through 14. Now, I don't remember if you do, but I remember my childhood days when it came time for recess and our gym class, and we would go outside, and that day would be a day that we would be playing kickball. And the teacher or the coach would pick a couple of captains, and each one would begin to pick their teams. One by one, names were called out, and teams were formed. And if you were like me, you stood there for a while before you were being chosen. I'll never forget the joy of hearing my name called out to join the team. You see, I wasn't chosen because of my skill. I was chosen because one of the captains chose to choose me. However, that's nothing compared to being chosen by God. God, in His supreme sovereignty, according to His divine will, chose to save me. He didn't have to save me. He chose to save me, and He chose to save you. And when we're handpicked by God to become a member of His family, before the foundations of the world, long before I was ever born, God chose to save me when I was 16 years old. He chose me. He chose you because of His grace, because of His love. We did nothing to deserve this. We didn't earn it, and certainly don't deserve it. He chose to save us. Verse 12, He tells us that we are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. There are three terms used in the Old Testament as describe Israel. And do you know what that means, what they're saying then? Do you understand what they're saying here? It's an incredible change that's taking place here in the economy of God. And what once was true of one nation is now true of all men who are in Christ. Romans 11 tells us that Israel is set aside in terms of national uniqueness for this period of time temporarily. But ultimately, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. But those of us who are Gentiles, who have come to Christ, we are the elect. We are the holy. We are the beloved. And therefore, on the basis of that, put on a lifestyle that is consistent with such a calling. And because He chose you, there are certain benefits which are yours. You're made holy by the blood of His Son, Jesus. You are set apart for the Lord and His holy work. You are loved by God and cared for by Him. Therefore, Paul says, we are to put on Christ's likeness, Christ's virtues, Christ's qualities that reflect the life and the temperament of Christ. And that's your loving response to God choosing you. Verse 12 tells us, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Paul writes in chapter 3 with these terms of putting off and putting on. It's kind of like clothes. We get dressed every day with outward clothing that Paul And Paul uses this visual to show us that we need to clothe ourselves. We need to put on every day the following qualities that reflect the characteristics or the character of Christ. In the Greek, it is the verb which means to sink into your clothing, to put on, to clothe oneself. We must choose to put on these qualities. We must be deliberate and intentional. Therefore, Paul says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, a heart of kindness, a heart of humility, a heart of meekness, and a heart of patience. Before you have been chosen, there are virtues that should be on display each and every day in your life and my life. And there should be present in our relationships with others. Once saved, we are commanded to be different from the world. Different than those who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not to be of the world, even though we must still live in the world. That kind of reminds me of an illustration, a true illustration. When my wife and I and our kids were living in the Philippines, I went to a small island, we would go have Bible studies there, but in the evenings we would go fishing out in the Sulu Sea. And while we were out there fishing, one night I caught a fish that's called a tengigi. It's similar to the tuna, and it's just really delicious. And once we got to shore and we filleted out the fish, we began to lay it on the campfire and began to cook it. And after it was cooked, we served everybody. You know what's the first thing that I did, and I think most everyone else did? We took some salt and we put on it. Now, isn't that ironic? That here is a fish that lives its whole life in the ocean of salt water, and yet it has no salty taste. This fish was not isolated from all the other fish, but it was insulated from the influence of the salty water. And that's just a picture of us. We're not to be isolated from this world. God has not called you or myself to be alone. He's just told us that he has chosen us to exist within the context of Christ's church. You are a part of the body of Christ, the church, the local church, that gathers together with others of the same mind and of the same heart. Treat others with tender compassion. Be kind. Live humbly before others. Be meek and gentle and exhibit patience with others. And then Paul continues in verse 13. To bear with one another, which means to endure, to stand under, to be tolerant of. Now don't be quick to judge or criticize those who may have a different opinion than you. Don't be too quick to put down someone else. Show a measure of forbearance, particularly those who may have a grievance or a complaint against someone. And if this happens, be ready to forgive one another. Be ready to pardon one another. You see, forgiveness is not always easy. But when it's done with a heart filled with compassion and kindness, it's a heart that desires to be Christ-like. It is possible. It's more than possible to be forgiving one another. We are commanded to show forgiveness just as we have received forgiveness from the Lord. And Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, where he wrote, "And be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." And in this case, you're wondering, how often do I have to forgive others? What if I forgive them and then they do it again and again and again? How many times do I have to forgive them? Well, we should follow the example of Jesus. He's always our standard, and he said we should forgive 7 times 70, Matthew chapter 18, verse 22. And then he continues in verse 14, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Well, Paul goes on to say here that after telling the Colossians to put on compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience and forbearance and forgiveness, he says, now wrap all these up in love. The love that binds everything together in perfect harmony. And if we try to be Christ-like without love, which is not being Christ-like at all, 1 Corinthians tells us that without love, we're like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. We're making noise, but we are nothing and we gain nothing. We love God because He first loved us, 1 John 4:19. But love comes from God, and it is His love that filters through us so that we can love others. Love brings harmony. And Paul says it brings unity in the church. When this happens, God is glorified. So why should we put on these characteristics? Well, the answer is found back in verse 12, because we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved by God. Christ is everything. What do we do with that truth? Well, everyone who is a believer should be living like Christ is everything to us. May our lives reflect that precious truth that we have been chosen by God. And when we show these Christ-like characteristics toward others, we may ask ourselves, well, what will be the results? When we live this way, specifically toward others in the body of Christ, what can we expect to happen? Well, look at verse 15. We find out that we will be the church that God intended us to be. So strife, separation, and disagreement is ungodly. It has no place in God's church. And there is no good that comes from disunity in the church and among God's chosen people. And when there is quarreling and fighting between brothers and sisters in Christ, God is not glorified. This is not the church as God intended it. Let me just say this. When we are living the way Christ intended, when we clothe ourselves daily with the character and the qualities of Christ, there is a unity in the body of Christ, in His church, and He will be glorified. And Paul goes on to say that when these Christ-like qualities are evident in the lives of believers, he says in verse 15, that the peace of Christ will rule in our hearts. In other words, His peace will govern and control us. Every believer should be governed by the peace of God, peace that comes from God. His peace should preside over our mind, our lives, and our choices to keep us from living a disorderly life. Just as an experienced ruler governs the multitude of people under his care, with the influence, with their differences of thought and opinion, likes and dislikes, it is God's peace that governs us. This is how God wants His church to function, as one body with the peace of Christ ruling and reigning in our hearts. He continues to say in verse 15, and we are to be thankful. There should be this spirit of thankfulness among God's people. So what should we be thankful for? Well, there is a whole lot to be thankful for, but let's start with salvation and being chosen by God. Thankful for His mercy, for all the hopes and privileges and the spiritual blessings that come with being a Christian. A spirit of thankfulness, an attitude of gratitude that promotes harmony. This is what God desires to see in the lives of His children. The peace of Christ ruling in our hearts and living a life of thankfulness is what God desires to see in His church. God continues in verse 16 where He has intended that His word will dwell richly in us. In other words, God's word should take up residence in our souls and in our mind. We are to be in His word constantly reading and meditating and learning and growing in wisdom as we learn the doctrines of Christ. We are to let the word of God be our guide in all things. So if the word of Christ richly dwells within you, then every thought, word, and deed will conform to the will of God. And if the word of Christ is within you, then it can move upon your heart. It can correct your thoughts. It can shape your attitudes, your behaviors, your dealing with others. It can even shape how you react to different circumstances or difficult circumstances. David wrote in the Psalms of Psalms 119, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Matthew Henry wrote, many have the word. Many have it, but it dwells in them poorly. They're not learning. They're not growing. They're not applying the truths of the Scripture. But when we are full of the Scripture and of the grace of Christ, our soul prospers. God intends for His church to be teaching and admonishing one another. And may God's word have its home in our hearts and in our minds. Paul encouraged the believers in Colossae to study the word of God and to learn it well. Doing so would help them and would help you and I to grow in wisdom. And God knows that we need the wisdom to live in these days. This helps them to know when they are faced with false teachings because they have learned the true teachings from God's word so well. Paul encouraged them to sing psalms and hymns that were filled with truth and with doctrine. And again, do it all with thankfulness in their hearts to God. Teaching God's truth, educating others about God and His word, admonishing, encouraging, and exhorting one another, singing psalms and hymns based on God's truth, sharing it with one another in a worshipful expression, ruling with the peace of Christ, and being thankful that this is being the church that God intended us to be. And finally, in verse 17, it talks about giving Christ our all. Verse 17 says, in whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, Paul is telling us and telling the believers in Colossae, and the message is still the same for us today. Do everything we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever you do is very general. So Paul is allowing you to apply this for yourselves and for ourselves. Whatever you do can mean a lot of things, from suffering to praising God, from giving to taking. Do it in His name because He requires and commands it. Do everything in His name because we have a desire to honor Him. To honor Him and glorify Him should be the aim of every true believer. We need to stop and ask ourselves, why do I do what I do? Is it for the praise of men? To hear others say great things about me? Or do we do all that we do because it's our sincere aim in our life to please God and to bring Him glory? President Harry Truman once said, it's amazing what you can accomplish if you don't care who gets the credit. Well, let's put a spiritual spin on that. It's amazing what God can do through you if you don't care who gets the credit. Church, we're commanded to do all, whether in speech or whether in action. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's all about Him. And as believers in Christ, it's really good to remember where we came from, what we have been saved from, the fact that we deserve hell, but God, in His great mercy, chose to save us. This should make us ever thankful. We should always be thankful to God the Father. See, God wants us. He wants all of us. Not a part of us, but all of us. He wants us to put on Christ each and every day. And it's a daily choice that you and I choose to live for Christ and His glory. God desires that we choose to live for Him and to give Him all ourselves. To give Him all. That's the message of Paul. And church, if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have been saved and adopted into God's family, then you can rejoice in the truth that you have been chosen by God. And Paul says we are to appropriate the truth inwardly, and we're to live it outwardly. So you may ask the question, how? Well, first of all, we must determine to respond to others with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience and forbearance and forgiveness and love. And so are these Christ-like qualities present in your life? Are they present in my life? What changes are necessary in your life so that these would be exhibited for others to see? Well, search your heart, as the psalmist wrote. David said, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Begin today. Choose to clothe yourselves with the characteristics of Christ. As believers, the second thing we need to do is determine in your hearts to respond to God's love by letting the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and in your lives. And in moments like these times that we're living in, that have us so anxious and so worried and so upset about the stock market, about the coronavirus, and about all the things that are going on in life. The scripture here is teaching us that we need to determine in our hearts to respond godly by letting the peace of Christ rule. He's sovereign. He chose us before the foundation of the world. And if He can create us and create the world, He certainly can take care of us. And so there's hope in our message today that Paul's giving us, that there is hope for you. We are God's church. Are we the church that God intended us to be? Are we the body of believers that are ruled by the peace of Christ? So let's ask ourselves, when we have guests here at the church, when others visit our church, what do they see? Are we a church that practices thankfulness? A church that shows the Word of God that dwells in us richly? Each member should determine that together we desire to be the church that God intended us to be. The third thing that we need to remember is that Christ is everything. We need to determine to live as if Christ is everything in your life. And that's a true statement. But do you live like He's everything? In other words, do we give Him our all? Do we live like He's everything to us? If Christ is everything to us, then we will do all in His name. and for His glory, whether we're serving your family or going to work faithfully each week or singing in the church, cooking for the first-time parents or planting flowers around the church, teaching the discipleship kids, passing out tracts, delivering a meal or necessary food items during this time that we're living in to your neighbor who doesn't know Christ, sharing Christ in sandwiches with the homeless outreach, writing cards to the shut-ins, making phone calls. Whatever we do indeed, we're to do all in the name of Jesus. My question to you is, what did you do last week in the name of Jesus? Was He glorified? What can you do this week to bring Him glory? My prayer is that God will help us clothe ourselves with Christ and show Him to others in everything we do. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we ask, Lord, that the message would hit home in our hearts to help us to realize that Christ should be and is everything in our life, that we live according to the Scripture, that they're richly indwelling in us, and we have an attitude of thankfulness. We have that attitude of gratitude, Lord, that gives us encouragement and strength to live each and every day. Father, I pray for those who are suffering with this coronavirus. I pray, Father, this morning you would bring healing. Lord, may this horrific and terrible event of this virus calls us to get on our knees and to cry out to you, asking for forgiveness of our sins, asking us for salvation, and Father, asking us, Lord, that we would follow after you and that Christ would be everything to us. God, we ask you for the power to live this Christian life you've called us to, and that we would be an example, and that our example would glorify you. We praise you for your wonderful power. We praise you for your salvation, your love, your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness, the sacrificial death of Christ upon the cross for our sins. Father, today, speak to our hearts. Convict us, and Lord, may we repent and turn to you. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ, and we love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Please feel free to share this message, but remember, don't charge for it or change it. The Lord's message should be free and for everyone.